back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Friday morning. As always, text line 251-343-0106. That is where you want to respond to anything we're talking about on the program this morning. That's where you do so. So to come on the program in the 11 o'clock hour, we got former Governor Robert Bentley coming up. That's like 30 minutes from now, so stay tuned for that. And we'll wrap it up in the bottom of the hour with State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion from Daphne. So please, as I said, stay tuned for that as well. But joining us now, very excited to have this next guest, very kind to come on, Auburn University Emeritus Professor of History, Dr. Wayne Flint joins us on the line. Dr. Flint, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for making time out. Let's go ahead and start this out up front here. Backing Ed Packard into Secretary of State race. Saw the letter to the editor on some of the websites around the state. But go ahead and talk about that Secretary of State race, if you could.
Yeah, it's always a really important office, Jeff. We tend not to pay attention to it, but actually the credentials and the integrity of the Secretary of State are the key to whether you have a real democracy or a fake democracy. If you have someone, for instance, who feels like women shouldn't vote, they make it harder for women to vote. They may not be able constitutionally to prevent it, but they can certainly make it more difficult. If there are people who maybe have handicaps, for instance, are in wheelchairs, you can make it easier, you can make it harder. If people are blind, you can make it easier, you can make it harder if you're Secretary of State. And so part of my support for Ed Packard is just the fact that he is a deeply committed Christian and that he is fair-minded. and I start off with those two. I guess being a Baptist minister, you would expect it. But I start off with asking the question, are you a true believer? And do you have integrity and are you fair?
And, you know, that office is sort of kind of a high profile office here in the last, I'd say, last few election cycles. You know, Alabama's been the spot of some very significant elections that the country has watched. And, you know, Secretary Merrill out front, out on cameras, on cable news all the time. It does seem to, you know, we don't typically think of it as a significant office, but it really is. It really does kind of, in some ways, the face of the state at sometimes.
Yes, it really is the face of the state. And, you know, I'm really, I know our current Secretary of State has some real ethical problems in terms of his relationship with women. But on the other hand, if you have a holistic view of trying to understand a human being, I think he's been a really fair-minded Secretary of State. And I think he's gone out of his way to encourage people to register to vote, not to restrict them. And for people like me who are 81 years old and we're living through COVID in the last election cycle, he made it so easy for me to vote an absentee ballot. And, you know, a lot of people make fun of Alabama and talk about what a backward state we are. But I can guarantee you it was a heck of a lot easier to vote an absentee ballot in Alabama than it was a lot of states where the secretaries of state were partisan politically, either Democrat or Republican. And I really respect Secretary of State's fairness in administering elections. And it just so happens that Ed Packard, whom I'm supporting in this race, was the younger brother of my son's best friend growing up in Auburn. The older brother was aerospace engineering grad from Auburn, as was my son. And when he graduated, he was voted the top aerospace engineering graduate in the entire southern United States, including, you know, places like Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech and all the other major universities. And what made me proud of Ed also was the fact that his father was a career Army, our Air Force Staff Sergeant. And after he retired from the military, he became a postman. And there's something about just coming from those kind of roots, that is roots of ordinary people, not some extraordinarily educated person. His father didn't, I don't think he had a college degree. But Ed was just such a ambitious kid, and my office as head of the history department was right down the hall from Ed's office, where he was a student in political science. And his major professor and head of the department raved about Ed's integrity and his responsibility. And that was my impression of him, watching him as a little kid growing up, too. Just a good family, Christian family, a real commitment to fairness.
Joined by Wayne Flynn. He is, as far as I'm concerned, the definitive authority on Alabama history. I have a almost entire bookshelf of his books. Joining us on the line now, Dr. Flynn. Let's move on to some of these other races going on in Alabama. What do you make? We typically don't have these high profile U.S. Senate, contentious Senate elections. I mean, every 20 years or so, but we've had a pretty good run here. 2017, somewhat in 2020, and this 2022. Cycle, maybe it's Donald Trump being on the scene, and that's why. But I was talking to one of my colleagues last night about this. Never seen, we don't typically get this in Alabama politics, do we?
No. And you know, Alabama politics, Jeff, are strange for lots of reasons. One is that in local races, for instance, Mobile city offices, or the legislative delegation, Mobile. It's a very contentious race. And down there, whether you vote as a Democrat or whether you vote as a Republican really means something. But statewide, it really doesn't mean anything at all. And this is going to be a hard election for a lot of people, say where you've got local candidates running, because you're going to have to decide whether you live in a municipality like Mobile, or whether you live in one like Auburn. In Auburn, there's really not but one party that's going to win elections in Lee County, and that's the Republican Party. The Democratic Party might as well not exist in Lee County. And so, basically, if you want to influence politics, you have to vote as a Republican. And that's not true in a lot of places in Alabama. And one of the interesting things about this election is going to be that an awful lot of the polling is polling how do Republicans feel about the Secretary of State race, or how do Republicans feel about the governor's race or the Senate race. But I would warn pollers that, as an old political historian, which was my primary field in graduate school and about which I've written a lot, especially Alabama politics, one of the really important things in this election from my point of view is how many Democrats are going to vote in the Republican primary, how many independents are going to vote in the Republican primary. My hunch is a heck of a lot of them. And that polling really isn't being done. It's basically, are you a Republican? And then who are you going to vote for governor? When what ought to be asked is, are you an Alabama registered voter? Which primary are you going to vote in? And who are you going to vote for?
Well, let's talk about the two-party dynamic in this state. It is overwhelmingly Republican. There's no question about it. But do you feel like that trend, maybe in a couple of generations, we'll see it go back in the other direction? I look at like a place like Auburn, Tuscaloosa, even Huntsville, and the demographic shifts. And you're starting to see more buzz for some of the Democrat candidates. Look at it, especially the state Senate seat there with Tom Watley. He always has a tough fight on his hands. But the changes in the state are starting to kind of, I don't know, make way for a Democrat or two to pick off a seat. And maybe that's a trend that we look at in the future.
Oh, you're very perceptive, Jeff. That's absolutely right. The demography of Alabama, of course, is changing. And you have to remember that, during the COVID period, the population of virtually every state in terms of growth, in terms of babies born and people dying, there are a lot more people dying than there are people being born. So the first thing you start off with is American demographics are changing, and that's probably a permanent change. There's just not going to be as many babies being born because there are not going to be many families having 8 or 9 children like they once did. Secondly, you've got racial change. Alabama is going to increasingly have more and more African Americans in the population as a percentage. And if you think about it, Georgia, for instance, and the dramatic changes in Georgia politics, Georgia has about 10% higher African American population than Alabama does. Alabama is basically around 26% African American. Georgia is around 35%. And if you take the increasing percentage of blacks in the Alabama population, plus the younger people in the population, plus the political attitudes of older white people in the population who represent a significant portion of the total elderly population who are going to die off in the next 20 years like me. And what you've got left is a state that in a decade will look more like Georgia than it does look like present-day Alabama. And so if you look at what Georgia is like now, a very competitive state with 35% black population, that's exactly what you're going to have in about 10 years with African Americans in Alabama.
So you're a Democrat in Alabama. You look at it, you just got to be laying the groundwork, the foundation, some kind of infrastructure. And when that time comes, then maybe you could be competitive like Georgia. But for now, it seems like a lost cause for a lot of Democrats.
Yeah, it is. But I would argue that one of the important things about that debate is that the Republican Party, since it is, in essence, the governing statewide institution, is fraught with factionalism. And so you will have almost as much diversity within Alabama Republicans right now as you have in many, many other states that are much more evenly balanced. And to give you an idea of what I mean by that, Kay Ivey's primary sport financially and in terms of enthusiasm is the Business Council of Alabama. And what these are you know, the CEOs of major corporations and institutions in the state who realize that a Democrat is not going to be competitive in a statewide race. And so what they do is they back the person that they think is the most rational and reasonable candidate for office in the Republican Party. And, you know, if you look at the money that comes into the coffers, the Business Council of Alabama is looking for someone who would be more like a non-partisan, fair-minded, efficient, ethical leader without the political demagoguery. And they put an awful lot of money and effort into political PACs that support such people. And then you've got groups like the Alabama Farmers Federation and Christian Coalition and groups like that also pick candidates, but the candidates they tend to pick are not the same ones the Business Council of Alabama tends to pick. That is, you're not going to run on saying, well, I'm a born-again Christian, and I wear earrings that have crosses on them bigger than my earlobes. That doesn't impress the Business Council of Alabama too terribly much, because what you're doing is trying to substitute symbolism for substance. And what they're looking for, those who basically run the economy of the state, is they're looking for substance, not symbolism. And the last thing they want is to have Alabama constantly fighting with everybody in sight over this or that religious issue, which to them doesn't seem like the future of Alabama.
I mean, that's really one constant in the last I guess, a century of Alabama. It's just the presence of the business community and the farmers, the planters and big mules or whatever you want to call them, but they still kind of run the show in this state in a lot of arenas.
But there also are a lot of arenas now, more than ever before in the state's history, where the trajectory of that debate is dividing rather than uniting. It used to be called the Big Mules. The Big Mules in Birmingham and the farmers out in the white farmers out in the state. But that coalition is no longer really quite that easy to understand. For instance, from the standpoint of the business community, they want a highly skilled labor force. And so they don't much care for AEA because they believe that is a teachers union and that it's more concerned about teachers than it's concerned about the quality of education that's coming out of the public schools. So they tend to be, for instance, on the side of educational reform. AEA tends to be more inclined toward a teachers union and what teachers are paid. The Business Council of Alabama is more inclined toward what are the standards for teachers, what kind of requirements are there, how well do they score on standardized tests. And so there have been fissures between the Big Mules, as they were called at the turn of the 20th century, and the farm community, the agricultural community. And both are basically, obviously, attentive to whatever their financial policies require. But I do think there's been a real change in my lifetime because I see even the business community is divided into those who have a need for a really skilled labor force and thus want education reform and better schools and better teacher salaries. And those who think we're just doing great at just like we are, and our kids don't know Latin, but why does anybody need to know Latin anyway? and the result is you now have a sort of practical wisdom group and a group that's looking into the future and saying, well, what's practical in 2022 is not going to be practical 10 years from now. It's going to mean that you're not really competitive statewide.
Dr. Flint, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break, but thank you so much for making time for us.
It's good to talk to you, Jeff. Always good to talk to you.
Hopefully we talk again soon. That's Dr. Wayne Flint, Auburn University history professor emeritus, joining us there. Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.